Friday the 13th. Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
You're first to let me know.
Oh, well, on Twitter, I asked all of the all of my Twitter followers, who are some players that scare you?
I'm not one of your Twitter followers.
I was going to say, what do both of them say?
And I said, interpret that however you want. Or maybe I said scary players. I think I said, whatever,
scary
it doesn't
plus.
Matter. So we got some good answers. We'll get to that. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Watch the video show live at noon Eastern time. And if you can't check that out, you can watch it on demand. Go to fantasynews.cbsports.com or go to cbsports.com/fantasybaseballtoday. Today on the show, we'll look at Kevin Gausman, a potential change at Mets closer as there was a back injury last night for Henry Mejia. We'll give you a Week 12 help, go over the two-star pitchers, the best and worst hitting matchups. Tim Hudson was awesome again. We'll talk a little bit about Chase Whitley, Alfredo Simon, and Ryan Braun's been slumping. And let's get to it with our – oh, you know what? I got an email this morning. Somebody said he loves when I give my when I tell people what new movies I've watched lately and if I give an opinion on them. So I have a serious movie recommendation, and I want both of you – to pay attention to it too.
All right,
I want everybody to
even though I won't see it for like 10 years.
Because I keep saying to everybody, "Watch this movie, watch this movie," and they finally do. They're like, "Wow, that was really good."
Al doesn't watch movies,
but I think everybody would like this movie, The Way Way Back. It's on HBO this month.
Oh, I saw it.
I like it.
Yeah, might have been you. Somebody told me they saw it and it was good.
Steve Carell.
I love it.
Oh no, you know who it was?
Who? Me.
It's Nando.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
This whole podcast and everybody who's ever been on it likes that movie. So if you're home this weekend, you got nothing to do, watch The Way Way Back. You'll like it. Now the phrase of the day, Mick Hot. That is Lloyd McClendon on Andrew McCutchen. He's calling him Mick Hot now. And in June, Andrew McCutchen is batting .429 with 6 home runs. It's only the 13th. 14 RBI, 11 runs, 1 steal. On the year, .321 batting average, 10 homers, 37 RBI, 36 runs, 8 steals. Thought it was interesting, though. He's number 5 among all hitters, Andrew McCutchen, in points, but number 18 in Roto. Any reason why that might be? Steals are down, but home runs are up for him. You think
puzzling.
It's just kind of fluky right now?
Yeah, I would guess. I mean,
I guess it's
the
margin. Like, yeah.
The margin between 5 and 18 might be kind of thin.
He is among the league leaders in doubles. He's got over 20.
But you would think everything else would actually make him a top 10 outfielder no matter what.
Right. Not a top 10 outfielder. He is a top 10 outfielder, I'm sure.
Hitter, excuse me.
Right. All right, well, I just wanted to bring that up. I didn't know if there was anything to it. I'm sure you guys still think he's great.
I do.
Yeah.
So is Lloyd McClendon.
Mick Hot.
Did he ever manage McCutchen? I forget his stint. Like, it's funny because I always associate Lloyd McClendon with the Pirates.
I do, too, which is kind of weird, yeah.
Oh, did maybe I say Lloyd McClendon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean to. For some reason,
he was still managing.
Maybe? Yeah.
Glenn Hurdle.
Oh, because I was going to say, what does Lloyd McClendon call himself? Because he could be a Mick, you know, I don't know.
Wow, I am sorry. I was up too late watching Lloyd McClendon and the Mariners last night. So Glenn Hurdle, I have to give him credit for Mick Hot.
You were giving me a wide-eyed look. Like I was the crazy one. You're the crazy one, Adam.
Okay, anyway, let's move on, because now I'm embarrassed. Tweet of the day number one is from Ken Good. With another shutout against Samardzija, should the trend of lack of run support factor into streaming decisions for starting pitchers facing him?
I'm not sure I really understand the way that this is worded. What I think he's asking is should it affect how you stream him?
No, I think it's saying, do you stream starting pitchers that face Jeff Samardzija?
Well, apparently I spent too much time watching the watched the Pirates last night.
I think if you stream anything based on that, you stream pitchers facing the Cubs, not so much Samardzija specifically. I think Samardzija, when he's on the mound, still gives the Cubs their best chance of winning.
What did you say? You stream pitchers against the Cubs?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring up the fact that Edinson Volquez, Yolish Chacin, and Kyle Kendrick all had good starts yesterday. This is really for daily leaguers, I think. But they faced the Cubs, the Braves, and the Padres. The Padres in particular, I mean, their lineup is so bad that I'm wondering, I mean, would you start yesterday it was Kyle Kendrick, right? would you start a guy as unreliable as Kyle Kendrick if he's facing the Padres?
Now he's below my Padres line for sure. But I did find that in putting together this week's Fantasy First Pitch. I was looking for the guys facing the Padres. Josh Beckett, Scott might be happy to hear, is ranked higher than he would be otherwise.
Yeah.
Because of that start.
Go Beckett.
But for these three, the only one that, you know, with 2020 hindsight, that maybe I would have recommended would be Volquez, because he's actually been pretty good lately.
The thing, too, about, you know, going that deep into the pitcher pool to get a matchup against the Padres is that you still need to make roster space for that guy.
Well, what if it's one of those daily auction leagues or something, and you can go low on the Kendricks, the guys that usually stink but are facing the Padres? I don't think that's such a bad strategy.
No, it's not. In that kind of league, if you're looking to save dollars at starting pitcher, you know, I'd be more likely to save dollars at another position, I think, but that's a viable strategy, I think.
All right, I'm looking for the Padres line in my rankings here.
Okay. We do a daily segment every day on Fantasy Baseball Today, our video show, in case you don't watch. So, you know, check that out. I know daily leagues, big deal now. So we're catching up. You check that out, Al. Tweet of the day.
It's been checked.
Oh, what do you got?
It's been checked. Yeah, it's going to be, pretty much the whole, almost the whole top 125. I just don't have Kendrick in it.
Oh, so you'd start pretty much anyone against the Padres in your top 125. Who's 125?
It's Ty Malone, but he needs to be moved up. But 124 is Colby Lewis.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think I just a little bit higher. Yeah, I've got Cozart 122, Feldman 121. Yeah, so pretty much right about there.
Tweet of the day number two from Joshua Smith. Thursday's podcast was billed as a bust special, yet there wasn't a single Baywatch or Pamela Anderson reference. Hashtag letdown.
See, this is what Joshua Smith needs to understand, that, you know, people think this is a great job. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's some difficult things about it. Like, you got to exercise restraint sometimes.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
With the bus special?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we get criticized all the time for leaving things like Pamela Anderson and Baywatch out. So it's tough. Tweet of the day number three is from Johnny on the Spot. Familia or Black? And that is if there's a long-term injury to Henry Mejia, who left with a back injury. What do you guys think, Familia or Black or someone else?
I think Familia, just because I just think he's higher up in the pecking order at this point, and also because Scott does an excellent job of pronouncing his first name.
Jay Reese.
There it is. Yes. Jay Reese Familia, who's pitching pretty well. Vic Black's walked six guys in 10 innings.
He's
pitching
what Vic Black does.
But other than that. So I responded to this and said Familia. Al says Familia.
Oh, yeah.
Three Familia. In the family.
Three in
all in the family here.
Did I ever tell you the Familia story from spring training last year? So he shows up for spring training, and the guard at the complex doesn't recognize him, and so he's asking him for ID, and he doesn't have. He says, you know, Familia. He's no, family's not allowed in. That supposedly really happened.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I think you did tell me that off the air. All right, Thursday's standouts, guys. Let's start with Kevin Gausman, 43% owned. I find it funny. He's owned in the same amount of leagues as someone else in this show, and it kind of blew my mind. And it is Josh Tomlin.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Tomlin's been on the most added list, because I think last time I looked at that, maybe 2 days ago, it was 30-something for Tomlin.
So I'm assuming you guys would definitely rank Gausman ahead of Josh Tomlin.
Miles ahead, yes.
Yeah, there's a big upside difference there.
Six innings, five hits, one run, three walks, three strikeouts against Toronto. His last start was even better. Seven innings, four hits, one run, one walk, six Ks against the A's. I know he walked three and only struck out three, but I do think you'd have to consider this an encouraging start.
Oh, yeah.
Threw 70% fastballs, and he throws 98 miles per hour. 10% each of sliders, changeups, and splitters, and he's RP eligible in points leagues. Give me your thoughts on Gausman.
The AP recap for the game kind of made it out to be a foregone conclusion that because this was a good start, he's going to stick in the rotation. And Buck Showalter kind of hinted along those lines earlier that if he did have a good start second time out, they would find a spot for him. I don't know who's out. I guess it would be Miguel Gonzalez, even though he's coming off the DL here soon. And I don't know that we can say because of these two good starts, like, Gausman is for sure like a finished product now and is going to be stress-free the rest of the way. But if he does have a full-time rotation spot, obviously it's about as high-end as prospects get.
You might have to pick him up now.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Would you rather have Stroman or Gausman?
That's what I was building up to, Adam. I would rather have, in head-to-head, I would rather have, I'm going to stick with Stroman. So I tried to talk myself into it because of the Sparp thing, but couldn't do it.
It was fun to watch the thought bubble kind of fill out over your head there.
All right, now would you drop, this might be too much of a stretch, would you drop Mark Burley for Kevin Gausman?
That is not too much at all.
Well, only because we don't know his future in the Orioles rotation.
That's okay with me. It really is. Yeah.
Okay. How about you?
It's a little closer for me, but I think I probably would drop Burley, yeah.
Let's say Kevin Gausman he's in the rotation for the rest of the year. Where would you rank him? That's a hypothetical. Where would you rank him?
Right now or? Yeah.
Like assuming you knew he was going to stay in the rotation.
I know I have Burley 76th, so I guess that means top 75. I mean, obviously, I have the upside for more than that, but that's where I'd start him out.
Okay, but not like, how about you?
Where would you
rank him?
I mean, I have him ranked, but I'm thinking like 60-ish.
Okay. Max Scherzer, complete game. His first complete game of his career. One day after Yu Darvish did that. Complete game shutout. So hopefully back on track. 3 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts at the White Sox, and was slightly better than Chris Sale, who struck out 10. He's awesome too. Let's talk about Tim Hudson, guys. And he goes 7, gives up 6 hits, 1 run. It was unearned. 2 walks, 5 Ks. He's got a 1.81 ERA. And he was coming off one of his worst starts of the year, which was 9 hits, 3 runs, and 5 innings. Very impressive against Washington. And what do you do with Tim Hudson?
You don't necessarily start him every week. I think what he's doing is pretty close to what you can expect. Higher ERA maybe by a run or so. But obviously that's still very good. But it's not like he's, you know, all of a sudden become a strikeout pitcher late in his career. So that, you know, in a one start week, he's a guy that's always kind of on the border for me.
That's crazy.
No, it's not.
Yeah, come on. Right now, I mean, look.
What is right now? Though? This isn't a 25-year-old.
He's pitching
kid.
Great though.
I understand that.
He's not Mark Burley. He's a better pitcher than that.
I agree, and I mean I don't always start Mark Burley in 2-start weeks.
Yeah, and I've never called you crazy for saying, you know, you don't have to start Mark Burley even though Burley was being so good. I think Hudson's above that.
And I'm making that distinction. I'm saying Tim Hudson is a must start. Well, I didn't say it, but I'm implying it. That Tim Hudson's a must start in 2-start weeks, and you will start him a lot in 1-start weeks, but you will not automatically.
It comes a numbers game at some point. Yeah. Wouldn't you compare Tim Hudson to Kyle Loesch? I mean, yeah, I have Kyle Loesch in our head-to-head points league, the podcast league. I got David Price, Michael Wacha, and somebody else high-end like that who I start every week, no matter how many starts, no matter the number of matchups. And then you got to start fitting in the 2-star guys after that. Only got 2 more spots. Loesch doesn't always make the cut for me. A lot of times he does.
All right, I understand. I think, you know, probably because you got Hudson so late, you have other really good pitchers on your team that you're not going to start. But do you think he's going to be really good this year, all year?
Yes.
All right.
Not, like I said, not this good. There'll be more of those bad starts like the last one, sprinkled in there. But, going forward, he'll have a sub 3 ERA.
You interested at all in Chase Whitley? He's 19% owned. He's gone 7 innings, 2 straight games. Last night it was 7 2/3, 5 hits, 2 runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts, gave up his first home run of the year, but he's only made 1 start in Yankee Stadium at home. And he got a little lucky last night, some deep, deep flyouts and some really good plays by the Yankees outfielders. But, you know, pitching well and a really good whip, only 3 walks.
I've been interested in him from the beginning because just kind of a interesting development for him. I mean, nobody knew who he was before this year, but he had been a reliever for the most part in the minors becomes a starter this year and dominates in the minors, 10.7 or 10.9 strikeouts per nine to 2.4 walks, only 6.8 hits. Great ratios. He comes up, he pitches well, but he never goes five innings. Last two starts, he goes 7+. The reason I'm not quite to the point of saying, yeah, maybe you should consider adding this guy is because those last two starts, it's not like Whitley was extended further necessarily. He threw less than 90 pitches in both. He was just so efficient that the same number of pitches he was throwing earlier were able to take him farther. So I'm not sure the Yankees are really ready to turn him loose yet. Definitely AL only needs to be owned, but I'm not sure about mixed just yet.
Yeah, and the problem is because I feel similarly about Whitley, but I think at this point he's pretty much universally owned in AL-only leagues.
Yeah, sure.
Probably. So I feel like I did miss the boat on him.
He only threw 82 pitches last night in 7 2/3. And again, he's got 3 walks on the year.
I mean, in one way, it's a testament to how well he pitched. I mean, if you can throw that few pitches and last that long, you're doing something right. But I think his season high is only 91.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that was in 5 innings.
And the key disclaimers, you know, you already kind of put out there that he's only given up the one home run. He's only made the one start. Probably had some good luck on those fly balls, and he is a fly ball pitcher. So you're going to have to pick your spots to use Whitley.
Anything else big time from yesterday? And we'll get to Jesus Montero. And Hanley Ramirez and Gio Gonzalez. But anything else from yesterday stood out to you?
It's not anything that Everett Cabrera did yesterday. It's just more what he has not been doing for the last month and a half or so. And when we have these questions about, you know, Everett Cabrera, this shortstop, that shortstop, usually, you know, if it's a borderline guy, it's just an automatic Everett Cabrera for me. And now I am starting. The doubts are creeping in, because it's been long enough.
Since
he's had decent plate discipline.
Okay.
And hit for average.
You hadn't said it yet. That's why.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry.
Suspense.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize that there was suspense because in my own head there's this idea of who Everett Cabrera is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just solely contained in my own head and not shared by everybody. So. What I expected was the guy that we saw last year before the suspension. Also sort of weird in a way that of all the PED suspended guys, he seems to be the one who's fallen off the most.
Yeah. And Jesus Montero, by the way, a PED suspended guy as well. Cabrera. But I don't know what to make of it. And it's almost like I feel like the Astros are too good to be true right now with some of these performances. And I feel like the Padres are too bad to be true.
I agree with that.
Everybody's been so bad on that team. Is there one exception?
Seth Smith.
Yeah, but even he's coming back down to earth. He's in 3 down today.
Well, yeah, I mean, law of averages said he had to come back down to earth, but still exceeding expectations overall.
Seth Smith, I didn't think of him. But really, it's just been just dreadful. And I just wonder if something's going to change and they're going to start hitting and if he'd be part of it. But you're going to downgrade him, Everett Cabrera?
It's just a question of how much. Because I haven't given up hope. Like I say, it's the first time that really doubt has crept in that, well, this has been going on long enough. Maybe he's not going to get back to where he was last year where he was hitting lefties better and striking out a lot less often.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything for you, Scott? We got plenty.
You know, Charlie Blackmon had a big game, 3-for-4 with a home run, I think it was. And he had been in a slump. I mean, we knew the slump was coming eventually. He wasn't going to hit 350 all year. But even counting yesterday's game, since May 13th, so about a month, he's hitting 215.
Ew.
Yeah. But... yeah. That being such a bad slump, the course correction, he's still been okay. He's still, head-to-head leagues, he's the 56th outfielder during that stretch. So if you assume what, in a 12-team league, head-to-head, 36, half of the utility spots, maybe outfielders, 42 outfield start, Like, he's not so far off from that group that you're like...
I'm sorry, but this seems like a stretch to me. 56th?
Yeah, 56.
That's horrible. Okay. That's horrible. Come on.
I disagree. I would expect him to be lower for being in such a bad slump.
Yeah, I mean, he still gives you the steal and the homer every now and then. I was gonna say I was sort of encouraged the fact that he was slumping and still hitting for some power and stealing bases, but I didn't realize it was a month. But I don't know. How can you look at the 56th best outfielder and be like, it's not so bad?
Well, let's put it in a different light.
Okay.
This week he has 13 points. Last week he had 18 points. The week before he had 15 points. You're okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The week before he had 2 points, and the week before he had 10 points. So those were...
Well, those were weeks that you're like... 56, yeah.
But, I mean, if you... obviously, if you knew when those weeks were going to happen, you'd sit him. You can't sit him.
No, I know what you're saying.
This is my way of saying you can't sit Charlie Blackmon, even if you feel like he's slumping.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and I get that because, yeah, I don't think it gets a whole lot worse than this. So that's the floor.
Yeah, I think if we would take the last 3 weeks. He's probably like in the 30s or 40s, I would guess, based on those point totals.
Let me do last 21 days real quick.
Yeah, let's see. And we got a lot to get to after that, including our scary players and a whole bunch of lineup stuff and Ryan Howard being in a platoon potentially and a blown save in the Astros bullpen. Got it, Scott?
Okay, yeah. Actually, not much better in the last 21 days. About 50, about 49th, something like that, around there.
All right, we made our point.
Yeah.
Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Seattle called up Jesus Montero, now going to DH against lefties. And Lloyd McClendon, and not Clint Hurdle, was asked if Montero was the right guy to call up, and he said, quote, "Do you have somebody better?" End quote.
I do.
Who?
McHot.
Who's that?
Never mind.
Oh, I got. Oh, McHot. McCutcheon. Jeez. What the hell?
That was fun.
Yeah. So Montero has only homered once since the beginning of May down in AAA. And again, he may only play against lefties. So I saw he went for a lot of money in our 14-team two-catcher league. I picked him up for $1. In a league I lost Ramos in, two-catcher league. I'm just hoping that he'll do well enough. I mean, their hitting right now is so bad with Smoke and Saunders on the DL that, like, he could beat out Stefan Romero for a DH spot if he hits well, I'm thinking.
But, I thought you were going to say Stefano again.
Oh, from Days of Our Lives.
You're talking about Stefano the other
Stefano,
day.
Stefano, he's super evil. Marlena was possessed
dude.
By the devil, and he was all about it.
He's, I mean, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The name Stefano was uttered in my household a few times growing up.
From Days of Our Lives?
From the TV.
Yeah. Oh, there you
yeah.
go. What do you think about Jesus Montero?
Yawn.
Okay.
DH against lefties. Yeah, and that's a ringing endorsement from McClendon. Got somebody better.
Exactly.
Not very encouraging.
Okay. Hanley Ramirez will be out at least the next two games. He got a cortisone shot in his shoulder. He might need to go on the DL. Gio Gonzalez completed his second rehab start, says he's ready to rejoin the rotation next week. Not necessarily going to happen, but he says he's ready. Nick Swisher returned as the DL. Oh, this is big. Nick Swisher was back, and Lonnie Chisenhall sat against a lefty, John Lester. Mike Avila's played third.
Well, I hope that doesn't continue.
Yeah.
May have been, you know, Lester's especially high-end
yeah.
as lefties go.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. James Paxton getting closer to a return. Robinson Cano nearly homered again to center field. Jacoby Ellsbury made a leaping catch at the wall. Emilio Bonifacio left with a rib cage injury, and it looked kind of bad. So let's say he goes on the DL. Is there anyone that would benefit from this that's fantasy relevant? Other than pitchers facing the Cubs?
Yeah, I think that there's your big impact.
Okay. Steven Drew could be headed to the DL with the oblique injury. Brock Holt started at third base with Daniel Nava in left field.
What a waste of money.
Who? Steven Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I kind of get this feeling Steven Drew is going to do nothing worthwhile at all.
Brock Holt went 2-for-4 with a double and 2 RBI. Jonathan Herrera was at shortstop. Xander Bogaerts sat yesterday. Bogaerts said that the position switch has nothing to do with his funk, It's been a pretty short funk, but a funk nonetheless. But if you are not buying into that and thinking that they're related, then this is good news because it would probably move him back to short. Right? We'd think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially since Shane Victorino began a rehab assignment, or he's set to begin a rehab assignment soon. So hopefully he's on his way back. Jacoby Ellsbury expects to play tonight, day-to-day with hip tightness. Jose Altuve, x-rays were negative. He got hit on the hand. He's day-to-day. Colby Rasmus, 44% owned. He began a rehab assignment. Do you think he's under-owned? I know Scott was kind of buying into a breakout. Al kind of wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But Rasmus was hitting great before he went on the DL.
I think he needs to be owned in Roto Leagues, unless it's like some strange 10-team, 3-outfielder Roto League. You know, normal Roto League, he needs to be owned, and 44% is less than that. So, yeah, I'd say he's under-owned.
It's where Scott and I find common ground.
Okay.
I agree.
Billy Hamilton rested yesterday. Brian Price said to the Cincinnati Inquirer, he didn't play every day when he was up in September. He did go to Puerto Rico. That kind of wore him down, I think. But he does play center field. He's 160 pounds. He plays hard. He runs hard. He does everything at 100%, which is great. But I want to make sure he's still strong and healthy going into the later months of the season. I didn't really think about that, but should we be concerned about Billy Hamilton breaking down a little bit late in the year? Wearing down a little bit.
I mean, not if he's sitting periodically.
But he's not really sitting periodically.
But it sounds like maybe that's what's going to happen.
Well, then are we worried about Billy Hamilton in general if he's going to be sitting periodically?
And I'm actually not worried because I don't think it's going to substantially slow down his stolen base pace, and that's why I own Billy Hamilton.
Yeah, and actually I believe he pinch hit or pinch ran and stole a base yesterday.
He was almost exclusively a pinch runner last September, and that was the best he's ever been.
That's a great point.
Yep. So let someone else get on first for me. Anyone interested in picking up Josh Rutledge? I know Herc's all about it.
I don't know. No, I guess no is the answer.
Yeah, I found it sort of intriguing when he was getting a little more playing time, but it hasn't really been that steady.
Since Kadir went on the DL. He's been playing third. He played short yesterday.
Oh, he did? Okay.
With Tulowitzki resting.
Oh, okay. Missed that.
He's down in like the, or maybe actually below, like the Tommy LaStella group of middle infield pickups. So, I mean, he's in the discussion, I guess, but you're comparing him to a guy. I don't know how owned LaStella is, but
20%.
You're talking comparing him to a guy who's 20% owned.
Who'd you rather have?
LaStella. Okay. But he's in that territory.
By the way, Billy Hamilton did not steal. He pinch hit and he sacrificed bunted yesterday. Ervin Santana became the 13th visiting starting pitcher in 33 starts to allow 6 earned runs or more at Colorado. I love this one. Texas is discouraging fans from doing the wave at games.
I think all teams should do that.
It's the worst thing in sports. It's worse than steroids.
How do they discourage them from doing it?
They have a message. They've come up with some clever messages on their video board to discourage people.
You said messages. I thought you were going for like mesh net or like they put it like over their heads at a certain height so they couldn't stand
up.
They
literally can't move their arms up.
That would discourage it.
That would. Brandon Phillips left with a sore right index finger. Josh Harrison was out, and Starling Marte batted second. It looks like Ryan Howard might be in a platoon sitting against lefties with John Mayberry playing first base. John Mayberry is slugging .703 against left-handed pitchers. He homered yesterday. And Jackie Bradley Jr. made a throw from left center field. That would have been front page news if Yoenis Cespedes did it. It was very impressive.
Was that Bay Area media bias?
Yeah, exactly.
I think so.
A Red Sox flew under the radar?
Well, it wasn't a rifle like Cespedes, but it was impressive.
But the I thought the Mayberry thing with him starting and having a big game was definitely worth noting because I think this does give him some deep Roto League appeal now. Not going to play regularly, but he's mashing against lefties, so he'll give you some good counting stats.
And let's do some players that scare you. Woo! On Twitter here for Friday the 13th. I said interpret it however you want. Players who scare you. And Colin, Uncle C. Adams says, when I face him, Chris Sale, tough week guaranteed. Yeah, he's good.
He is good.
Wasn't good enough last night.
Chris Swick, one of our fantasy writers, came up with a bunch of scary names. Brad Killer, Spooky Betts, and Scary Enright. That's good.
Well, Scary Enright is pretty scary.
Yeah.
Spooky Betts.
Dewey Singleton says Francisco Rodriguez scares him. I guess he's still not buying in. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm not scared anymore.
Okay.
He's not hiding under the bed.
Leon Phelps says, Victorino, about to come off the DL, but how long till he's back on the DL?
That's why I downgraded him.
Yeah. Oh, you know who scares me along those same lines? Cargo.
Yeah. I would take a bag of balls for Cargo at this point.
No, you wouldn't.
Not quite that, but no, I would take...
That's what makes him scary. Like, I don't feel like... I don't own him, thankfully. But if I did, I wouldn't feel like I could trade him, but I wouldn't feel like I could trust him either. It's completely no-win situation.
All right, I'll give you an outfielder. You tell me if you trade Cargo for him. Ready?
Yep.
Yoenis Cespedes. Give up Cargo to get Cespedes.
No.
I wouldn't blame anybody who did, but no, I wouldn't do it.
How about, I guess we have to go a little higher then. Matt Holliday.
In points leagues, no, actually in either way. No, I wouldn't.
Really?
I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hunter Pence.
You know what? I just contradicted my rankings with the Holliday thing. I will take Holliday in points leagues because I trust what I was thinking at the time I made these rankings as opposed to what I'm thinking when put on the spot here. And I would also take Pence over him.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, I'm still not that down on Cargo because nobody yet.
I have him 14th, so I wouldn't say I'm down on him necessarily. But
Carlos Gomez, Al. How in the world can you say no to that?
Because I'm pretty sure I've gotten lower in my rankings and I don't want to contradict them, but I think probably the better thing to do is to change them.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure I'd do that.
Okay.
Trust what you think when put on the spot here over what you think when you were going through the rankings? Is that what we've determined?
I didn't get that.
Yeah, it's not important.
Yeah.
It's not important.
I knew what you meant.
Okay.
Chris Swick also says, Heath Hell, Travis Spider, and James Axton.
Travis Spider.
Josh Caulfield, player he's scared of. Brian Wilson. If I saw that dude on the street, I'd walk the other way.
I knew somebody was going to bring him. I had a feeling.
Bill says, Homer Bailey scares the hell out of my ERA every start. And Angry Adam scares me when CBS Herc fires him up.
Yeah, that is frightening.
I think people enjoyed that yesterday. I got some good feedback. Homer Bailey scares Bill. Does he scare you?
No.
Scott?
Homer Bailey is starting to having me think pleasant thoughts about puppies and
he smells of
rainbows and yeah.
Matthew Rodriguez says Jeff Samardzija scares him. Agree or disagree?
Nah. Harmless.
His name would scare me in a spelling bee.
Yeah.
Oh, you so have it down.
I do have it down.
Because we all
go, go.
Samardzija. J-A.
Oh, you are eliminated.
Al misspeak.
Don't worry, because Philip Hambley misspelled Houston when he said Houston Street. There's no O in Houston Street, at least not the first O you put in there. It's just H-U-S. Houston Street scares him. When will he go down?
Yeah, he's scary.
He's pretty injury prone, but man, he's been good this year. Jake M says 50 Cent the pitcher and Bartolo Colon the hitter.
No, Bartolo Colon the hitter isn't scary. It's entertaining.
JLR says Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I'm talking about. The good old days. Nick Fox, David Wright, and Gene Segura. And Justin Upton. He's so inconsistent.
David Wright scares me this season.
I have a little
Upton phobia too.
You do?
Yeah.
Cargo or Justin Upton?
J-Up.
Oh boy. On the spot rankings adjustment here. Yeah, J-Up.
Nando DeFino has some scary puns. Quentin Scary instead of Quentin Berry. Garrett Bones, Nick Squisher, and Mike Boo Stockus.
I know why, but I love Nick Squisher. I don't know why that's scary, but that's awesome.
Chris Swick responds, Nick Squisher is top notch. Sean Callahan is scared of Verlander.
Nick Squisher.
How could you not be scared of Justin Verlander?
He's about in that Cargo territory for me. They're probably the two. I actually went through yesterday in the one league where I owned Verlander and was on the verge of making like three trade offers and then stopped and couldn't bring myself to do it.
I just traded for him this morning.
You did.
Justin Herlander?
Hurl?
Yeah.
Herlander?
Man, that's not really scary. It's just unpleasant.
Does anybody have, like, that reaction to being scared? I mean, obviously, some people, their bodily functions go other ways, but...
could never take that person to a horror movie.
They just vomit.
I traded Dallas Keuchel for Justin Verlander in our podcast league. Going for it. I'm going for it. I don't understand how Keuchel could be this good. I don't get it. Like I said,
we're all for that, aren't we, Adam?
This good. Yeah. Like, yeah, I think he's good, but he's been an ace. He's like top 10 pitcher.
Okay,
top 15
pitcher.
He's
not
so
top
far.
10 pitcher.
I think he was the top 10 pitcher for the Astros in April.
Yeah, it's crazy. Any more here? Oh, Elgrani Yvonne says Derek Jeter scares him. Yeah, he actually had a great week, but his slugging percentage is like .315. I'm scared of Matt Adams sending Oscar Tavares back to AAA from Tim Hart.
Matt Adams sending Tavares. Okay, I heard you backwards at first. Yeah, I think you should be scared of that.
I'm kind of scared of both players right now.
Kip Arney says, Troy Tulowitzki, you know that injury is coming.
Eh, I wouldn't be scared. If I owned Tulowitzki, I'd just be kicking back in the shade.
All right, thank you all for the scary players. Two up was Blackman and Listella. We covered them. Five down, Ryan Braun, 8 for his last 44. Two doubles since homering on June 1st. But here's an interesting stat on Braun. He's only batting .209 with runners in scoring position. So any worries there, or actually maybe encouraged that the run production could go up?
Yeah, more encouraged. I don't think he suddenly became unclutch.
Yeah.
So.
That's what the... Oh, no. I'm not going to say that.
Wait, Al, are you telling me that clutch hitting actually exists?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Good, because anyone who says otherwise is a fool.
Wow.
An absolute fool. A damn fool.
Now you've done it.
Hate that argument. that's my least favorite sports argument. I think the craziest one, that clutch performance.
I think it's over attributed.
Yeah.
A lot.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, fine.
But I think
it exists. You take the mental aspect out of the game and you're ruining sports.
Right. Exactly. I mean, people get nervous.
Right.
It's not like they're machines, but it is over attributed and it's certainly certainly been devalued to a more realistic level now.
D. Gordon went 0 for 4, hasn't stolen a base in 5 games. That's tied for his second longest drought of the season. So it has happened. Only 2 steals in his last 10 games. That's because D. Gordon has 9 hits in his last 10 games, and only 4 of them are singles, and only 1 walk. You take out what he's done in this 10-game cold streak at Colorado, and he's really struggling. And Gordon batted .228 and .234 in his previous 2 seasons. So should we be worried about D. Gordon doing anything but steals?
You know, this is kind of like steals. I mean, if he steals 90 bases, you start him in Roto no matter what he's hitting. So let's take the Roto aspect out of the equation. And this is kind of like the Charlie Blackman issue for me, because as bad as he's hitting, he's still putting up tons of points. So last 4, he has 4 this week, 20 the previous week, 19 the previous week, 20 the previous week, 12 before that, and that was right about a season low. So, I mean, as a shortstop eligible player, you're not going to ask for much more than that. I do worry somewhat. Maybe that it could affect his playing time in the future.
Yeah.
But as far as like what he's actually doing for my team, I don't worry about that.
All right, Devin Mesoraco, since coming off the DL, .208, 6 home runs, 14 RBI in 21 games, still slugging .590, but he's batting .138 in June. Any concerns about Mesoraco?
I think it was just a necessary regression to the mean, and that he'll bounce back to a degree, and we'll still see this as a breakout season in the end.
Chase Utley, batting .314 with 4 home runs, 31 RBI, good plate discipline, 24 doubles, 3 triples. You know, he's a top 9 second baseman so far, 7th in points, 9th in Roto, but last 28 days, 11th in points, 16th in Roto, and I do wonder if we need to start seeing some more power from him. At least some more home runs.
I was
going to
say home run power, because the doubles have been
to be good in Roto.
Been good. Yeah, it's. I have to admit, it's a little worrisome. Just about the time I was starting to notice how well Utley was hitting, he's cooled off and regressed himself. So I have to admit, I'm finding Chase Utley now a little scary.
A little scary? Yeah, okay. And Seth Smith, since homering on May 22nd, he has 9 hits in 14 games, 3 doubles, 1 triple, and 3 RBI. And just, he's like Juan Francisco recently, where it's like, well, got these good matchups here, facing nothing but righties, and really just not producing at all. So are Francisco and Seth Smith flashes in the pan this year, or sustainable?
Francisco, I think, completely. He's like this year's... Was it last year when Unieski Betancourt went off for like a month? And
yep.
We kept saying, don't buy into it. And everybody, you know, people were storming us with pitchforks and torches and whatever else. And eventually he became a non-factor. I think Francisco is headed that way. Smith, because he walks so much... and has shown he can hit for power at Petco. I still think he might be useful as kind of a platoon option. 5 outfielder leagues, start them when they're facing a bunch of righties.
All right, and didn't really have much to talk about in the rotation except for Kyle Loesch and Mark Burley. I think we covered them.
You know, just going back to the scary names.
Yeah.
We could. There's a player that we could hit that topic. And also the anagrams theme.
Yeah. Go.
David Lowe, because you jumble his last name and it's Ghoul.
David Ghoul.
Yeah.
That's good, Al. I'm scared of David Lowe. If I have to play him in any of my leagues, that means I'm not having a very good year. Does David Lowe even have AL-only value? Because I'm not in any AL-only leagues.
You know, maybe just to stash on your bench, because I actually did pick him up in a 15-team mixed league earlier this year and then dumped him after about a month because I thought he'd give me some steals.
Okay.
So and he's still getting a decent amount of playing time.
Yeah, he always, this is the weirdest reference I've ever made, but he reminds me of the song Low by Cracker. And it goes, being with you, girl, it's like David Lowe. And it says, like, being low, but I always sing that song in my head when
and
I.
And for some reason, you just cut the lyric off right there.
you know the rest?
Oh, yeah.
Good for
I
you
actually
Al.
Thought that would be an awesome walk up song.
I'm pretty sure I saw them in concert. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Opening for Soul Asylum and Everclear.
Hmm. Yeah.
I have heard of one of those bands.
Which one?
Everclear.
You've heard of Soul Asylum. They sing Runaway Train, one of the best, like, pure 90s. 90s songs.
Could you sing it for me?
No, I think I'm done singing it. Right. I'll send it to
gotta,
you.
Got to rust the pipes.
All right, Frenchy starting pitchers. Alfredo Simon.
I'm sorry, but that guitar intro to Low, don't you think that'd be great for a walk-up?
I don't know. I don't know it. I'd have to listen to it again. I haven't heard that song in forever.
Okay.
Frenchy starting pitchers. Anything to say about Alfredo Simon? I mean, look, he's going to stay in the rotation. He's got a 2.95 ERA. 82% owned. Jonathan Neese, I think Rowenis Elias is so overowned, 62%. He was really bad yesterday. Al, good job. I actually thought that would be a decent start for him, and you said sit.
Yeah, you were sort of a disbelief.
Rowenis Elias, yeah. Why did you say sit him when he was facing a team that had gone 12 straight without scoring more than 4 runs, and he had shut them down in his only start, had a great start against them?
Because I was more distrustful of his track record than I was of trusting the Yankees, or I guess not trusting the Yankees to hit them.
So just go ahead and give me your top four from Simon, Neese, Elias, Tomlin, Gausman, and Whitley.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, it might change factoring in this barb appeal. So let's just assess Simon as a starting pitcher.
Yeah, let's just do like roto value.
Okay. I go Neese. And then actually, I do think Simon's second, just ahead of Gausman. And wow. Then Whitley, fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work for you?
Yeah, works for me.
Yeah, it's my order.
Yeah, all I know is that Elias is not in it, because I've got Gausman, Neese, Simon, and I'm having a hard time choosing between Tomlin and Whitley. I feel like they're actually pretty similar in appeal and how you'd use them. I think, okay, I'm going to give Tomlin the edge, experience, and I think a slightly better home venue.
There you go. In the bullpen, Chad Qualls gave up two hits and a run. His streak of 19 straight scoreless outings ends. I put John Singleton in the bullpen notes for some reason because I forgot to put him in three up, but he homered. Zach Britton got the save against Toronto, even with Tommy Hunter back. Adam Ottavino has been horrible lately. 9 earned runs in his last 5 appearances. That sucks for Al's Tatwar's team.
I was going to say, perfect timing just after I picked him up.
And Rex Brothers has a 5.02 ERA, but he's been better since giving up 5 runs on June 4th. So neither of those guys really claiming that role, and Hawkins benefits from it. Some more news and notes. Miguel Cabrera drove in 2 runs on an infield single. I don't think that's fair. And Miguel Cabrera didn't get intentionally walked with runners on second and third and the base open. And I think Victor Martinez hitting so well is only going to help Miguel Cabrera as if he needs more help. But I don't think it's fair that this, the best hitter in baseball, second best hitter in baseball, gets an infield single and drives in 2 runs. It's like, come on.
How did that happen?
It was Gordon Beckham bobbled it, and the guy from second scored. Like, squirted away from Beckham. I thought they could have called
not,
an error.
Yeah.
It was definitely like, an infield single. I thought they could have...
Right, one RBI. Right. But yeah. Then the second run scoring on the error.
Yeah, now they gave him a hit. CeCe Sabathia making progress. Yankees hope to have him back in early July. Gerrit Cole said everything went fine after through a bullpen session. Trevor Cahill sent down to high class A. He is expected to return to the rotation at some point. Arizona acquired Jordan Pacheco from Colorado. Mark Trumbo probably won't be back before the All-Star break. At least not much before the All-Star break. And Alfonso Soriano doubled, drove in 2 runs, stole a base, but he also went 1-for-5 with 3 Ks against a lefty, and he sits against righties. We have taken way too much time. That is my fault. So we got about 10 minutes left for hitters, pitchers for Week 12, and if we can sneak some emails in, that'd be great. But, Scott, start with your hitters, best and worst matchups.
So... the best matchup.
John Sterling, everybody.
Oh,
best actually, matchups.
That wasn't meant to be an impression, Susan.
Nice.
The Brewers have far and away the best matchups this week. At Arizona and their crappy rotation for 3 games. And at Colorado and what I will also describe as a crappy rotation for 4 games. Really doesn't get much better than that in terms of both parks and matchups. So start all your Brewers. One who might be on the fence for you is Aramis Ramirez, who had a big game yesterday, recently off the DL. And he had kind of a little bit of a slump before getting hurt, but for the first few weeks of the season looked like a must-start option at a weak position. So
yeah,
might be time to look into him again.
Okay.
Other good matchups, got the Angels, the Rays, the Cardinals, and the Cubs.
Tavares, starter sit.
You sit Tavares because I'm not sure. Adams is coming back this weekend, so
right.
We'll know.
Yeah.
We'll know before you have to make that decision whether or not he'll stick around. I do like Adams with the Cardinals matchups for what that's worth. He's my start at first base. A couple lefty-righty situations to keep you aware of. The Indians face 6 righties. They don't have the best matchups, but they face 6 righties in their 7 games. So I would consider Chisenhall, coming off what he's done here recently, a must-start, at least at third base, maybe not first. I'll go on to the bad matchups here now. Cleveland is number 1, but these are all kind of bunched together. Blue Jays, Braves. I got them a little out of order. Sorry. Okay, let me start over. Rockies, Blue Jays, Braves, Indians, and then Royals have the worst matchups. Some players to consider sitting based on that. Mordeau, who I know had a big game yesterday, but has mostly been in a funk. And Corey Dickerson, actually. The Rockies matchups... just to let you in on those, their first series is at the Dodgers, and they get Ryu, Greinke, and Kershaw. So 2 left-handers, and then Greinke the other one. So as hot as Dickerson's been, I don't know that you can count on him for much of anything in that series. He might sit 2 games, or he might not, but it's tough matchups either way. And then they get the Brewers rotation in the second half of the week. So kind of a shocking sit there.
What about Blackman?
Blackman, I would probably start.
Okay.
He's still higher into me. One other quick note. The Giants play 5 games this week. 3 of them are against left-handers. Pablo Sandoval's hitting under 200 against left-handers. That alone is reason enough to sit him and consider other options at third base.
2-star pitchers. Justin Verlander, Kansas City and at Cleveland. Start or sit?
Sit. He's on the bubble list, second to last. But just to give you an idea of how much of a downgrade that is, he is sandwiched between Kyle Loesch, who has a start at Colorado, and Chris Young of the Mariners.
Yay. Wow. I'm going to start him. I'm going to roll the dice.
Okay.
But I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, I do.
I like the matchups. I like the Kansas City matchup.
Just been bad.
Yeah, he has.
He's beyond matchups. I can't believe I'm saying that about Justin Verlander, but I am.
Jared Weaver at Cleveland, home against Texas.
Yeah, he's a start. He's one of the last pitchers on the must-start list, but he made it.
Jason Hamill at Miami, home against Pittsburgh.
A borderline start.
Okay, Jason Vargas at Detroit, home against Seattle.
He's a sit, and it's really just more sort of a numbers crunch for him, but it's not his best week in terms of matchups. So I have put him in the must-sit category.
What about Phil Hughes at Boston, home against the White Sox?
That is a must-start.
Irvin Santana, Philadelphia and at Washington.
Must-sit.
Whoa, really?
Mm-hmm. It's just been bad.
Yeah, I didn't really want to bring up yesterday's start because at Colorado. But he has – it's not just yesterday's start, obviously.
Yeah. No, it's been going on for a while now, so he's in must-sit status.
Drew Pomeranz, Texas and Boston.
Borderline start.
Tanner Roark, Houston and Atlanta. That's a good one, right?
That's a very good one, and that makes him a borderline start.
All right, how about Willie Peralta at Arizona and at Colorado?
Yeah, that Colorado start. Our little discovery this week about how much scarier visiting Coors Field is this year compared to last year.
Yeah.
I'm downgrading guys more. So Loesch makes the bottom of my borderline list, and Peralta doesn't even make the cut. So he got to sit him.
Roenis Elias, San Diego and at Kansas City.
Great matchups, but Yankees look like a good matchup too, and he bombed that, so sit Elias.
Elias or Verlander?
Verlander.
Trevor Bauer or Verlander? Bauer's got the Angels and Tigers at home.
Yeah, I contemplate putting Bauer in the must-start list. Instead, he's the top borderline option this week, so I've got him well ahead of Verlander.
Stroman at the Yankees and at the Reds.
Start him.
All right, start Stroman. So then we got a bunch of guys owned in 50% of leagues or less. Give us a few that are worth picking up.
Okay. And just give me 1 second here because I'm sort of ping-ponging between this list that you have of the ownership rates and my own rankings. I think Odorizzi,
yep.
He's one of those. Okay. Yeah, great week for Odorizzi at home versus Baltimore versus the Astros. Not that those are outstanding matchups, but Odorizzi, as you might expect, has been really good at home. I mean, that's a good ballpark for pitchers. He sort of needs the help with the fly ball tendencies. So I like this week for Odorizzi and think you should start him.
That's interesting. Okay.
And then, let me just peruse here the rest. Tommy Malone, I don't know if we went over him yet, but he's a borderline start.
Are you starting Odorizzi over Verlander?
Yes, I am.
Oh. It's bet number two.
Yeah, I'll gladly take you up on that.
Odorizzi really is just too unreliable.
But the pattern is there with the home versus away.
Yeah, but look at his last 4 home starts. Bad against Oakland. 3 runs and 4 2/3, 5 walks, 8 Ks. Really good against Boston. Bad against Miami, although he did have 8 strikeouts, no walks, but 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs. And then really good against the Cardinals.
Exactly. So I'll take the strikeout to walk numbers as encouraging against the Marlins, and the one bad start is against the A's, who are one of the best hitting teams of baseball.
All right. It's on.
So, all right. And then one more name from the bottom reaches of this list. Chris Young, who I mentioned earlier, may be the only time that I don't put him in the must-sit for standard mixed leagues versus the Padres at the Royals. Great matchups. Perfect venues for him. I know, again, Friday the 13th, you want to be scared. Go ahead and take a look at his strikeout-to-walk ratio. It's terrifying. Doesn't matter. These are really, really ideal matchups and venues for Young. And I've got him just below Verlander on the borderline list.
Last one I wanted to ask you about, Tommy Malone, Texas and Boston, but both at home.
Yeah, that's a borderline start.
Would you rather have Malone or Odorizzi?
Odorizzi.
How about you, Scott?
I'd rather have Odorizzi.
How about you on Odorizzi or Verlander?
I get where Al's coming from, but since it is an equal number of starts for the two, I think I would start Verlander instead.
Okay.
So that's our bet, though? Odorizzi, yeah. Verlander? Okay.
And what is it, fantasy points?
Sure.
Do we want to take wins out of the equation? No, I don't think we should. I mean, that's part of the thing. I trust Verlander.
Yeah,
to get
no,
wins
absolutely.
Much more than
yeah, I think that's fair. Okay. That's part of your sit start decision.
Yes, it is. We're a little long today. Emails. Let's get to it really quickly here. But Jeremy in Dallas, better stash in a 12-team roto league, Alex Wood or Taiwan Walker?
Wood.
Yep. Also, I need a second base replacement for the Neil Walker injury. Odor, LaStella, Beckham, Jeanette, or Espinoza?
I would go with, in a roto, I would go Odor.
Mike in Detroit, 12-team head-to-head points league. Assuming he's not sent down, would you drop Tavares for Gausman or Alvarez? I'm guessing that's
assuming he isn't sent down. I would say even if he was getting sent down, I'd still want to stash him for the next call up.
Who?
Tavares.
Tavares.
So you would not drop Tavares for Gausman or Alvarez?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't for Alvarez. I'm having a hard time with Gausman. I have to make a decision, and I'll say I want Tavares.
Last one is from. Let's go with Bobby. Grade the trade. He says, first of all, he says, "Dear President Scroob, Pizza the Hut and Barf."
Wanted to get that Spaceballs reference in there.
A month ago when Cargo was out with knee tendonitis, I gave up Cargo, who would be a first-round keeper, and Matt Harvey, who would be a 16th-round keeper, to receive Paul Goldschmidt, a 16th-round keeper. Grade that trade. Gave up Cargo, first-round keeper, Harvey, 16th-round keeper, for Goldschmidt, 16th round keeper.
I like it.
I'll give it a B+.
Yep.
Good job. Great show. Great week. Friday, noon Eastern. That's today. That's 2 hours from now. Watch Fantasy Baseball Today live on the website. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday, everybody.